The podcast was born out of a moment of desperation. Like, what was it? It was like, wow, we're not selling enough services. And Rich went, what do you think about podcasts? And I said, oh, God, it's so much work.
My goal was to squeeze as much value out of Paul Ford as I possibly could.
Rich, you ever heard of a funnel?
I have heard of a funnel.
What's a funnel do?
I think of a funnel makes sure whatever you're pouring makes it into the thing.
That's right. It focuses things.
It does. It focuses things and it moves
them
along.
If you're putting sand on a cake.
It's just wise.
Yeah.
It's just smart, right?
Should use a funnel, always. There is such a thing as a funnel, right? But there's also the metaphor of the funnel. The thing about a real funnel is that you put stuff in it and all the same stuff comes out. It's just kind of focused. A marketing funnel is about a steady war of attrition between you and everyone who you're trying to sell your product to. Like, this one has like awareness, interest, consideration, evaluation, blah, 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 until finally they like buy your thing and then...
Looking at this for the first time, and it's actually making sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
this is great. How I dealt with relationships in my 20s, by the way.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? You have to get an unbelievable number of people in order
it broke down on repeat for some reason.
No, I know.
And it kept getting jammed up there. I don't know why.
So that's a marketing funnel, right? And you go down these different steps. And really what's happening as you go down the funnel is you're losing humans along the way. But the ones who are sticking around are the ones who you might be able to engage in a beautiful purchasing relationship.
Okay.
Okay, so that's good. Here's a sales funnel. This is a big one.
All right.
You go at the top, you're trying to create awareness and then interest and then get a decision and bring them to action. Buy that car.
Transact.
Mm-hmm. So at the top of your funnel, use the word top. You know, it's very like top to bottom.
Yeah.
The top of your funnel, if you're a car salesperson, is like, I'm going to run a newspaper ad telling them about all the Toyotas we've got here at Jeffrey Toyota.
Get noticed. Yeah. You're saying get noticed. Now, right? Awareness. So I know about, like, I think about the, I'm not a truck guy and I don't even own a car, but that Ford F-150 ad where the truck finally makes it over the mountain and all you see is the front of the grill. And it's just, that is not just we sell a truck, right? You're trying to connect to people.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this is like, yeah. Like
top of the funnel is emotion and brand.
Connecting, right?
It's
you're
big.
Trying to get people to connect.
That's where you want to be. And you don't, and you want to just, you get them in there and then you go, come on into your Ford dealership.
Yes.
And then they come into the Ford dealership and now they've shown interest, right?
It's worth pausing and noting how we stumbled into this. Like, we didn't think we have to assemble the sales team. We need to think about the funnel when we started Postlight.
No,
it's worth not true. It's worth noting. We just thought, let's get the word out. We'll write an article or two, and then we'll start talking to people, and they'll want to spend money with us. The whole notion of it is like actually pretty new to us, but is huge in the world, right?
Well, it's not just the world. It's our whole industry is going funnelwards. That's what I keep saying.
Yes.
So, you know, here's another one where people come through traffic or leads and sales. So, you know, for people at home listening on their headphones, we're just looking at funnels. Imagine a funnel.
Yes.
Think about a funnel.
Funnel.
Welcome. You, all of you,
yes,
are in a funnel right now.
You're
close the doors. So you may not realize it. Probably you do because we talk about it a lot and you have listened to the podcast. The podcast was a little bit of a Hail Mary, and the goal was like, you know what? Nobody understands what we do, not just us particularly, but the whole freaking industry. Like, everyone is like, what? You build websites? And we're like, well, we build platforms and APIs. And they're like, stop talking moon language. And it's just horrible, right? So we're like, let's explain to people what we do 5 or 6 million times.
Yes.
And see if they can stand it. But the reality is it actually is, especially for bigger engagements, it's the number one way that people find us, because they've actually, and we didn't plan this, we're not that smart, but they feel that they've had a conversation with us, and in a very real way they have.
Yeah, and this speaks to a lot of how people try to connect to potential customers today.
Well, I try to think about it from the point of view of somebody who's like, I got to go find an agency, and you usually go look for an agency, and it's like, you know, here's our process and we'd like to call you and download this and how great we are. And then you listen to us and somebody once described us on Twitter as, I like this podcast. It's just two jabrons talking about tech.
I think that's a compliment. I can't tell.
It isn't. It isn't. But it's real, right? So you're all in a funnel, whether you're listening or you're here. Like, we brought you in knowing that one or two of you, like, first of all, it's good to see people. Thank you for coming.
Yes. This is a terrible way to frame this event.
No, but this is what's real. One or two of you won't ever leave. One or two of you will go home and say, I like the ironic way that they approach sales. I like that it's not too serious and I could continue talking to them. So this is the thing, though. It's not just Postlight. We're always in funnels.
Okay.
You don't think about it when you walk down the street. There are so many funnels that you're in right now. Like, if you're buying Avengers Endgame tickets, looking at the internet and part of advertising, you're donating to charity, voting Democrat, subscribing to the New York Times, subscribing to The Baffler, buying real estate, college applications, your title subscription. But every, like, totally special thing that really captures your personality that you buy or do ends up kind of in some funnel somewhere. You're just a cog in that machine. And good for you. Like, it's all of us. Like, it's not just that you're the person being marketed to, but we all exist in this sort of sales dynamic, and that's how we're being perceived everywhere in the world. And I think that, like, that just happened, right? Like, that's the rise of automated marketing culture and so on.
Whoa. Okay.
Well, and this is the last point on that, right? Is that Tinder is actually, like, a little bit like Salesforce. Like, you're kind of triaging all your leads.
Tinder is a very steep, narrow funnel that you either make it through or you don't, right? Very quickly, just marbles shooting through that funnel.
Well,
right?
The CRM, which is like the customer relationship manager, you just get rid of customer.
Yeah.
And it's just relationship manager, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's probably the most efficient CRM in existence.
It's amazing at extreme conversion. And so,
yeah.
But that's the thing, like, dating apps, you're in a funnel with dating apps. Yeah. And it's just, or you're actually the person in charge.
It's worth mentioning also, I mean, we're talking in the context of technology. This has existed forever in sales. It is a thing where you go and build the relationship. There was a day when the salesperson just went to lunches, lunch after lunch after lunch. And there's a bit of a reaction today, Paul, to this, right? Like, that slide before this one where you showed all the different funnels we're in, people are getting a little kind of freaked out by it, right? Like, privacy is a big story now. And I looked up an electric lawnmower. I have about 6 square feet of grass in Brooklyn. And I looked up an electric lawnmower on Amazon, and I looked through a few, read some reviews, left, didn't make a purchase. Opened up Facebook that night. And between, you know, my aunt's casserole picture and whatnot, there was a lawnmower inside of Facebook being advertised to me by Amazon. And I opened my closet the next morning, and a box flew out, and there was my lawnmower. But it's intense. I gotta say,
I love when
intense.
Amazon is like, hey, you bought a mattress. You know what you might need?
Yeah.
A mattress. You're like,
this is real.
Yeah, you're just like,
how many? I mean,
it's
shit.
Just like, you guys couldn't have. Like,
I got the lawnmower.
You couldn't have put that little filter in there, but yeah.
No, it's coming at you. Mm. Should we pitch Wish.com really quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, Wish.com. Do you guys know what Wish.com is? Wish.com is a site where they sell shit, junk, pretty much. You never go to Wish.com and say, I need to go get new batteries. It's just a site that has garbage that it's selling you for really cheap, and they have no inventory. Apparently, they make it when you make the purchase. And it's bizarre and weird, and it's that sort of, you know, I need to fill the void because no one's spoken to me in 7 hours, so I should go buy something for $11. Mm-hmm. And
then it comes, like, wrapped in that plastic, and it's, like, from, you know, Daewoo Heavy Industries.
It's real. Okay, so on to the next slide, which I'm going to describe to the listeners as a very complicated screen.
Well, or like a Trello board, but really, really boring. This is a picture. Do you know what application this is, Rich?
I think I do. I'm going to let you say it, Paul.
Salesforce. This is it, right? If you're moving people through a funnel, you're using Salesforce, most likely in America. Not everybody, or in the world. Not everybody. We manage our leads with a product called Pipedrive. It's a little bit easier and a little bit, like, more appropriate for our size. But here's the reason we're talking about this. Over and over, over the last couple of years, people have come to us and said, what do you do with Salesforce? And at first we were like, I don't know, like, okay, it's this thing.
Out of context with what they're asking for.
And it would be like a large not-for-profit that wanted to manage logins, or it would be a media company that wanted to track relationships with authors. I've seen it at colleges. It's turning out that Salesforce is one of the secret super systems that runs the entire world.
It is.
And we're seeing it more and more as software creators. And so this is kind of what we're talking about.
Almost anxiety. People are like, I
got to do Salesforce.
I got to put Salesforce in this. And they're coming to us for something that we would never suggest it because it didn't make sense. But there's nervousness around it.
Have you seen the Salesforce building in New York City?
I have not.
You're just walking up, I think it's Fifth Avenue, and all of a sudden there's the word Salesforce on top of a building. And it's like it's from the future.
Other buildings do that, Paul. Just throwing that
out
there.
No, I know, but it was like...
There's names of companies on other
buildings. I still find it really weird when internet things become New York things. Like, it's not...
True. New York, it's a new territory.
Like, you go out to the Bay and you're driving from the airport and you're like, oh, cyberauctionbiz.com, and it's got like 84 floors. And you're like, I don't even know what that is, but that's cool. But here, it's supposed to be banks.
It's supposed to be MetLife.
Like, banks and...
MetLife.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. What about hospitals? Those are like the two things that New York City is supposed to have.
People have money and they die. That's New York City.
That's right. That's right.
Banks and hospitals.
And then all of a sudden, one day, Salesforce.
Salesforce is here.
Big looming tower.
Yes.
So and this is a big company. It's a $123 billion company. And that's good, I think. I think that's a really good number.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, things are good. I actually said this to Rich earlier today. He's like, well, it's not that big. I'm like...
I mean, I'm thinking in the context of like... I don't know what context.
It's not Microsoft yet. Right? Like Microsoft and Google are like $800 trillion
companies.
Yeah, and so like it's not quite there yet, but boy, is it everywhere. And it was founded by this guy Mark Benioff, who had a very, very close relationship with Larry Ellison at Oracle. He was like the number one salesperson at Oracle by like age 26. He was just this rising star, and then he went in like 1999 and was like, "I'm going to change the way people sell." And
he put CRM software.
Customer funnel
software
management.
In the cloud. That was his angle, right? And he got ahead of everyone else.
So look, what's the world? The world is people use browsers and phones, and then you got these sort of platforms that Postlight builds, and then there's all these APIs, like content API. That could just be WordPress, login, search, analytics. Like these are the things that you use that we build.
These are the building blocks, right? That make up stuff.
And we think we're kind of big deal for having those APIs under there and telling everybody how it's going to all work. But the real world, if you go one level down now, it's starting to look like this. This is what people are coming to us about. They're saying Salesforce.
Yep.
Put it underneath everything. And underneath that, connect it to all these marketing tools and MailChimp and give us this kind of analytics and so on. And so it's really changing the industry in that what they did that was really smart, I got to give this to them, they went, like, most people are trying to go up and, like, make good interfaces and so on. Salesforce went down. They're like, we're going to be underneath everything.
That's true. The Salesforce interface, when a human interacts with it, is an absolute shit show if you've ever used it. They're not too worried about it. It's not priority for them, in fact. You can use it. It has all the features, and it does everything. It's very complicated, very dense. But what they did was they kept thinking about it as a platform and as this thing that's going to power other things, and it's going to sit in the middle. It's a middleman. It's a beautiful place to be, right there in that layer where information needs to travel
through. Also, what they did is they said, hey, everybody's running around doing this stuff on the web, kind of hoping it'll work, or throwing some advertising, or trying to get referral stuff through Amazon or whatever. Let's get in there where the revenue is. Let's get in there and say, hey, we'll capture leads and we'll move them towards paying customers. And so this giant platform is suddenly finding this context, and everyone can point to it and say, we're glad to pay the money for it because it is about how we make money.
Yeah.
That's easy to justify in any budget. And so it's weird as a open source focused services company that likes to work with lots of platforms. We're in Salesforce's universe more and more.
Yeah, I think what they capitalized on is there was a day when, you know, CRM software has been around for many, many years. And it was for the person that went out and built those relationships around homeowners insurance or bigger sales.
Life sciences was big too.
Life sciences, pharmaceutical sales and whatnot. And what they found was everything's happening now in a very automated, very sort of transient way just by breathing on your phone or looking at your Apple Watch. There's opportunity.
The weird thing, right, is that what this points to is the fact that everyone, like you work in digital media and you're a programmer or you're a writer or whatever, we kind of all are sales now.
Dude, have you ever filled out like the first four fields of lender.com? Just for shits. Just go do it tonight.
That's what you right? do. You're like, oh,
a
man.
A mortgage broker will be on your lawn within 12 hours.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. You know the other one?
If you Stack Overflow, if you do the jobs product,
yeah.
and you the minute you fill in your phone number,
yeah.
like someone is puts their hand on the landline and waits. And if you don't like fill out the rest of that form in about a minute, your phone rings and they're like, hi.
Submission is bullshit. This is worth noting.
Yeah.
You don't have to hit submit. It's no. done. It's over.
It's
already
me.
In.
It's me, Joel Spolsky. You know?
Yeah. It's you are already on auto dial. It's
yeah,
done.
That's right. And they'll pick it's you true. Up, they'll call you, and they'll be like, what do you need in order to complete that yeah. transaction?
Get that job?
Yeah.
Still looking?
Looking yeah. if you
exactly.
I can't believe you filled it in the last 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And so that's just a subtle change that I think we're all I know personally, like I'm learning to live with it a little bit because I used to think, hey, we'll put the stuff up and people will look at it and use it, and then they'll make decisions based on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And instead there's this whole nother world where it's like, no, we gotta move them along and we gotta figure out where they
yeah.
fit. And it's not just us, it's like art institutions show up.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we gotta build everything on Salesforce.
They need donors, they need all kinds
ticketing,
of
ticketing and whether it's good or bad is frankly irrelevant. It is where we're at.
It is where we're at.
It's where
yeah.
we're at, right? Like as part of me is like, well, there's a beautiful web that is all about yeah. humans interacting, and then but the people who pay for services are saying,
yeah.
Salesforce, what's your opinion? And then there's also like these companies. This was bought by MuleSoft is the name of this company because it's like works really hard.
Who here has heard of MuleSoft?
MuleSoft connects anything to anything, any API to anything. Salesforce bought it for $6 billion. So that's nice. That's always good.
Little
when that
something.
Happens. And it's just this endless, endless list of things that the file connector and the OAuth module and things that connect to everything else and ultimately connect to Salesforce.
Yes.
So there's this whole world where you just sort of like click 5 buttons, fill out some forms, don't
yep.
even write a lot of code, and all the various pieces are
That's right.
glued together for you.
Yep.
That is...
And it's something. I mean...
And they're coming for us. Like they're saying, you don't need to hire some services firm.
That's right.
But you kind of do because all this stuff just falls apart.
It,
there's like 5 things that work really well. And then there's like, oh, no, we tried MuleSoft, but it didn't work. Because we get yeah. those, too. They come in.
Yeah.
I don't think people might realize, like, services business is a lot of regret and sunk cost coming in. Like, they're like, oh, God, we did everything possible
yeah.
to never have to talk to you.
Yeah, it's true.
And it turns out that yeah. we've completely screwed ourselves up. And we need to give you a lot of money. And it hurts, and we hate you for it.
Yeah.
So what's our future? I've boiled our whole future down to a set of acronyms. SET, ACE, TAF. SETACETAF. And it's stay employed today, always connect everything to a funnel. What?
Why are you excited about that? That's a very strange thing.
You didn't show up to the meeting where we were going to do this.
I did. I was late to this morning.
So
meeting.
I'm going to have some fun.
Go do it.
So SET, ACE, TAF. I want to, like, when you are in this world, we're talking about Salesforce and MuleSoft and lots of things connecting, but there's actually, the world of automation software is absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
There's this thing called the marketing technology landscape. And if you're at home, I encourage you to download it.
I'd go incognito before
I definitely would.
Typing that in. Do not just type that in.
It's this chart with some logos on it showing
yeah.
like, oh, hey, how do I reach influencers? Oh, well, I could connect to Blog Lovin' and BuzzStream.
This is insanity. This is insanity.
What if I need to get referrals to my contact, you know, in order to get my...
Bots and live
yeah.
chat. Oh, that little piece of shit thing on the bottom right
yeah,
that kicks
guy,
in.
That little
hey,
guy
what are you doing
there's
here?
There's like 100 companies that do this.
This is incredible.
So there's like, yes, everyone is sighing because there's like 5,000 companies.
Why would someone, you can't even,
yeah.
is it a poster? Is that the thing?
I would totally like that right. and like a Ferrari as a,
yeah.
as a teenager. Like
for the that. Listeners.
It's just logo after logo after logo for all the things that you have to know about that live in this world.
Yeah.
So it is vast. And I couldn't figure the... I started looking at these charts. They're called landscape graphics about ad tech and so on. And they love to do this. They just bundle up all the
yeah.
logos. And it's a way for like advisory firms and VCs to show how connected they are. Yeah. Like, ooh, what's going on in AI?
It's really an underground economy, right? Because a lot of these are just waypoints, right?
That's right.
It's just information hopping from thing to thing, and I have a better way because as soon as they stare to the
they're taking a little penny here. Like,
they're taking a little penny here.
Every time that guy pops up on the website and says, how can I help you?
Right.
You
know, yeah.
But what I'm starting to figure out is that the money and the way that things are going is people thinking funnel. They're thinking like, oh, I got to move people through, and how can I get more of them from step A to step B?
That's right.
And that I just didn't see tech that way. I saw it like, yeah, I got my platform and my API, and I'm going to do my transactions and make a little money, and everybody's going to think, what a good boy am I?
Right.
Right. And it turns out that there's this whole world called the economy that's underneath everything.
It really is what, I mean, step A to step B, one of the most radical step A to step B moves I've seen is they'll reach out to you and they'll say, we're hosting a webinar. They still use the word webinar today and we'd like you to join. And you ignore it. And then 10 days later, and the webinar is in 20 days, they reach back out to you and they offer an Amazon gift card. No joke, a $10 or $20 Amazon gift card if you're willing to, they call it sign up for the survey and join us for the webinar just so they can get the information. I mean, it's the math works. Look, if you told me you can give me a qualified lead for $1,000, that makes sense. The math works, Paul. I mean, it's crazy, no, but it works.
It's great. If any of you have any qualified leads, just put them here on the table.
The thing is, the problem
is...
I will get
you $1,000.
The problem is you don't want to be gross. And we say this to ourselves sometimes. It's like, okay, we can do this and do that and buy email lists, but we don't want to be gross.
Yeah, but the world wants you to be gross. This is what's tricky.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, look at this thing that we're looking at with $5,000. It's just like, do you think they care about anything at all? That this is like the most vacuous hellscape that you could ever imagine, right? And we have to participate. We have to. We have to look at Salesforce and go, okay.
You try to stay kind of highbrow about it, but it is the game.
But also, we spend so much money and time on it as a firm where we're not necessarily building platforms and doing the things we love to do. And it's fine. I've accepted that into my heart. Like, that is just part of leading a services firm.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can I ask you a question?
No.
Like, when I see you staring dead-eyed into your phone as a consumer, on the consumer end, does it bother you?
When you see me, I don't care what happens.
Not me staring at you. That you are on the other end of this. That you are just sort of this blip getting passed around and sold.
Maybe because my background's in media, like the audience has always been like very abstract and a lot of little blips.
Yeah.
So I've never found that part too complicated. I don't like cheating and tracking and sneaking. I hate sneaking. Like my when my son sneaks candy, I get upset.
Okay.
Like I don't want to be that.
Right.
But like I think someone going to a services company's website knows that our goal is to get them to buy services. Like I think that's okay. And the content's there and the podcast.
We shouldn't be following them home.
Well, but the thing is you can't help but follow them home. That's what Google or someone else is following them home for you. We've all hired private investigators.
Yeah.
You know, millions of them. We have millions of PIs.
I love watching my mom use her phone. Mm-hmm. It's actually fascinating to see. And she has an Android phone. So there's a little, the rules are looser. You can put more stuff on it. You can kind of tap on something. And next thing you know, something else got installed. And every so often, I will open her phone and there will be like a little dancing on the bottom right corner. And I'm like, Mom, this shouldn't be on your phone. You shouldn't have this happening to your phone. And she has said to me, it's really great.
Yeah.
I really like it. It just, every so often, I think if I shake it, it dances a little. And
look, it transfers money from my bank account. It's really great.
And you know, it says something because she said, I got to clean up your phone, Mom. And she says, you can clean up my phone, but leave this little guy over in the bottom right corner because I think he's great. And so I think this is an very obvious example, but I think there's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of people feeling good and happy for little things.
I think they're also like, well, this is what it is.
I think there's a bit of that. Yeah. I mean, and okay. So on that note, ending it with a little aside about my mother, let's open it up to questions. Let's open up the funnel, Paul, and
let's
let people ask questions
if
you have any. Zero pressure.
Let me just say the question, which is...
Yeah.
The client and the front-end experience of Salesforce is really rough and kind of shitty, but is the back-end experience as a developer pretty good? It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Is it elegant and great? No, but frankly, I don't know if it has to be. I think they're, you know, the business drivers are being told go integrate it, and people are doing it. There are tools out there.
Devs are used to some libraries. Garbage too. Like, it's not as programmers. I think it's just sort of like, this is about as bad as many things are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's sad, but yes,
it's true. Like, it's not beautiful. But.
It's not beautiful, but it's fine. It's, I would say, better than the UX. So, other questions?
So, sort of people who build on top of Salesforce when you're doing.
Let's repeat the question.
Yeah, when you're doing a Salesforce implementation, there's always that partner who's like, "Oh, I'm your Salesforce implementation specialist."
Yeah.
And so, and you know, is that a multi-level marketing scheme? Let's engage with that. Like, is it a multi-level marketing scheme when you have the big Salesforce associate conference in Reno and everybody goes and you become a gold partner, you know, which they do. They actually, they knight you with an installation of Salesforce. And
I think there's a crossing point. I think there's a crossing point for certain brands, and it's really a very glorious place on the other side where you can just go say, we're going to implement Salesforce, and that decision is the right one. There was a day when you implemented PeopleSoft and you implemented other technologies,
SAP
and the like, and they're just, not only are they safe, but they're understood to be necessary. I think Salesforce has reached that sort of wonderful, euphoric place.
I mean, it's at that level in the platform.
It's right? at that
so,
level.
So they can't service people directly. And so a consulting layer has built up over the last 10, 15 years. And what happens is then there's the people who are really good at not-for-profit Salesforce, and there's the people, like, they focus on their vertical markets. You're just seeing a very mature space where people are doing their selling.
From an agency perspective, there are agencies that just piggyback the momentum of that sell, of just the safety around it and the support around it. Like, you see that for a lot of different products, but Salesforce is there.
What has changed is that it's coming into, like, this world. It didn't used to come, like, you would go hire your partner and they would set it up for you and you'd spend a certain amount of money. The fact that they come to us and they say, hey, we need the content platform, but we also need to, like, funnel certain people into Salesforce, and can you set that up? That the fact that it's just kind of like, cool, nice to have, let's add that in, is a real difference.
I was at in San Francisco just coincidentally when Dreamforce was happening. Dreamforce is like the big Salesforce conference. And essentially it was like 12,000 salespeople just sweating in hotel lobbies all over San Francisco. And the number of marriages that were ruined over those 3 days.
Is it James Hetfield? I think James Hetfield stood up and was like, Metallica uses Salesforce to manage relationships with our super fans.
This is real.
It's real. Yeah. And so, like, that, he was the featured Dreamforce speaker to let you know, like, just how far down
this
the
is
freaking
a thing
rabbit
now.
Hole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, other questions?
So what is Postlight's funnel? How does it work? And where does the funnel leak? Where does your funnel leak?
I got to say, this is the reason this is interesting to us and we're talking about it is this is really new to us. We weren't thinking this way. We weren't thinking, even though we were living it, because you're trying to move along a phone call or a conversation to a second conversation to a third.
You know what really happened is we just felt like the podcast and the brand and events and conversations were bringing people in, but we kept growing. And as you keep growing, you have to feed more coal into the fire. Like, you have to just keep shoveling coal. And we realized we couldn't scale up where we were at. Like, I couldn't sell more short-term engagements. You couldn't, land enough big things in order to really keep that going. And so what do you turn to? And you say, what levers do I have? What controls do I have? Well, we could promote the podcast more, or we could
spend money ads,
rebuild our website so it's more attractive. So it's sort of all really obvious stuff. Website, can we do some Google ads, some Facebook advertising? What's our LinkedIn strategy? All of those things are actually really new. They're barely taking
shape. One of the
things
we've tried to do, though, is not be gross. And actually, 99.9% of people listen to the podcast get some value out of it without ever having any desire to call us or talk to us or anything. And we hope that there's a sort of an effect out of that someone will say, hey, you should go check these guys out. And
what's tricky is that some of the platforms, like pasting something I wrote for the blog into LinkedIn, just feels inherently gross. Like it doesn't.
It does, and yeah. and you see it like if you use the Washington Post app. The ads that are articles in the Washington Post ad, it's very subtle which one is an ad.
Native content.
It's like the font's a little weird and it's kind of off. And you get it and you feel like they're trying to trick you, but sometimes if you go into the ad, it's just a normal article.
Yeah,
and they're just trying
to, their brand studio.
Their brand studio. I mean, that's the Vice model and whatnot. One more question.
Well, let me just restate sort of, given our slightly joking tone about privacy, yours in particular. How do we feel about the privacy of people who are more prone to exploitation and abuse and protecting that? We're for it. I mean, we're joking around, but obviously...
We're not for exploitation and abuse, just to be clear.
No, thank you. Right. Thank you. We should talk... And the rest of the question was...
it doesn't work.
Yeah, why does this actually...
comment, does it actually work? If I want to go to Tahiti, as the person asking just said, I'll just go book a ticket. I don't need to see it 150 times. I don't know. I think there's a carpet bombing approach here that they just, if you just keep banging away and you just kind of keep sort of hammering away, eventually you'll pull the trigger. I think that's the thinking. I don't think it's viewed as sort of immediately transactional, as in like you'll do the thing, I'll show you the thing and then you'll do the thing. But if I keep whispering in your ear for 4 months, we'll get you there, right? I think that's the point of back to the funnel. It isn't switch that you're flipping. It takes time to get you to move down that path, right? It's kind of creepy. I'm with you.
Look, this is anecdotal, but also statistics fact. I have a friend who is one of the best banner ad designers in the world. He's been doing it for 20 years. And everyone's laughing a little bit, but it's like it's real. It's been his career. And he's really, really good at it. And he specializes now in political campaigns. And they measure everything in terms of how many donations come in. And he's excellent. Like he gets more and more work as the campaign goes forward because he is able to convert more and more people to donors. And he does that by literally like, oh, let's make it red or the button needs to move around a little bit. Like it's not pure science. It's a lot of instinct that's built up, but it absolutely works and it absolutely drives millions and millions of dollars and more work to him. And it's measured constantly. And so things like that, I think buying the sofa is a little tricky because they're going to follow you around until you buy the sofa. And they're like, yeah, we told a billion people about the sofa and we sold 2 sofas. It's a weird artifact of humans being really cheap to buy an aggregate on the internet. But the more measured, larger ticket stuff, like we're going to buy a takeover of the New York Times in order to get people to give more money to, you know, a Democratic campaign.
A vote is very expensive.
Or a donation. They track that assiduously, and it does tend to work.
Where do you stand on that? Is that cool?
I mean, this is the world, right? Like, I mean, that is... None of this is cool. I'm not cool. No one's cool. But, like, we're doing a podcast about Salesforce. It's not...
Let's end this with an apology.
Yeah, the cool meetup is somewhere else tonight.
Yes, okay. On that note, Paul.
Thank you, everybody, for
coming.
Thanks
so much for coming, everyone. Thanks. Hang out. Have a drink.
Well, look, if anybody here has any questions, they can either come right up to the table and ask them, or they can email. What's a good email address to reach Postlight?
hello@postlight.com.
Goes right to you and me, and I can't wait to see what people want to know about. All right, let's get out of here. But not actually. We're going to have a couple drinks and hang out.
Have a good week.
Bye.